Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Big Topic, where we tackle the topic of self-care. What is it? Are we doing it? How can we do it better? And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, welcome to episode 91. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
Why don't you give us your update? How old's your toddler?
My toddler is 13 months and 3 weeks, and we have officially switched to one nap.
Whoa.
It's happened. So I was going to do a whole thing where we, gradually transition to one nap, and then there was a day where there was construction and they were drilling into the wall next to his crib and woke him up extremely rudely. And he got 30 minutes of sleep in the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? That's just going to be our reset. Let's just make it one nap from that here on. And we went cold turkey and it actually worked really well.
Good. Well, yeah. He was so ready for it.
He was very ready for it. I will say that his night sleep has been a bit disturbed.
And
I think it's because of the nap transition, but I think it's also because he's teething. His molars are definitely coming in, or his premolars or whatever you call them, on the left side. And I don't know what part of it is the nap and what part of it is the teething, but he's woken up at least once. I mean, really once per night for the last three nights.
Mm, does he need help when he wakes up at night?
Yeah. Mm. Not every, he doesn't usually, but these nights he has. So that's been a bit of a discouraging, I was like, oh no, did we switch too soon? But I've decided I need to give him a full week of, one nap to see if he settles. And so we're going to give him a full week. I'm not throwing in the towel yet. Switching back.
Yeah, I mean, they need time to adjust to stuff like this. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's not, I can deal with a week of it. I can deal with, and it's not like he's up that much. So it's fine. It'll be fine. So assuming he goes back to normal. If he doesn't, we're going to have to, get a sleep consultant or something. But
yeah.
But the good thing is that, his naps have been, the shortest one was an hour, which isn't enough when you're on one nap. But I need to give him some time to get used to that as well, So, but he's done an hour and a half most days. I'm hoping it'll start stretching to two and a half hours soon. So it is nice to only have to schedule around one nap. We like our activities, and now it's the world has opened up to us.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to more story times or story times at all. We've never been to an actual story time because they're always at 10. Yeah, they're always at 10, which is when you have a baby that naps twice a day, you can't go. So we're going to start doing that. We are getting outside a lot more. And I have to say the side effect for me has been that I am getting a lot more exercise.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm trying to make sure to keep him awake during the day, get him through that 9:30 to 10 window where he used to just want to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's get outside. Let's see sunlight. Let's run around. So we've been going to the park every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just noticed that my step count has gone way up.
Oh, so you have an actual way to know that your exercise has increased.
Well, I have an Apple Watch, so it just passively tracks it all the time, right? So yeah, I do. And I had the thought recently to look because, my legs, I could just tell that I'd been walking more and doing more exercise. So, cool. And having a toddler that runs around the park really does create more exercise in your life, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's not like you go to the park and run in circles and all around by yourself.
Right.
You wouldn't do that otherwise.
Right.
You would look like a crazy person.
I mean, I have to say, I love the swing because it's some static time. They're enjoying themselves and you can stand still.
Exactly.
And then the other side effect has been that bedtimes are less crazy. So our bedtimes had been kind of frantic lately because he, I think, just wasn't tired enough at bedtime. And so what he would do was we had so much naked baby running around the house time, which is fucking adorable. But also you're like, it's time for sleep, baby. And he's just like, I'm going to run everywhere with my naked butt out. And you're just like, but also time to put on jammies, And I've noticed that this week, I don't know if it's going to stay this way or it's just because it's the transition, but he's like, we get out of the bath, he's calm, we get into like the room, we start changing his into his jammies, and he's just like lying there listening to us sing to him. And I'm like, who is this child?
Oh,
where did
wow.
my wild child go? So
He's that, ready for bed at night now.
Yeah, he is. So that is the update. That's basically the only update. That's been our big week, is that we are switch to one nap. And also, we are closing in on what I really do think is the end of the construction of my office slash mother-in-law unit in the back.
Good.
It has meant that there's been a lot of loud hammering and jackhammering, and like they're destroying an entire concrete slab right outside of the baby's room. So
if anything, he's probably developed some really good resilient sleeping skills.
He'll probably
want to move to New York City as soon as he can to just be like, I need loud noise outside my window.
It's way too quiet here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's not on the wall that he's sleeping against, he's fine. Like the, it turns out the electrical panel is on the wall outside of his crib. And so when the electrician has come by and like drilled into that wall, that has not been great.
Oh. Not yeah, been that's fun probably not great
for the baby when he's sleeping, but otherwise rattles the crib. I mean, rattles the whole house, and then he gets scared. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be scared if I was woken up abruptly by someone sawing into the wall that I'm sleeping against. You know, poor little guy. So, but we're closing in on that, and it'll be really nice. I think I'll be able to do a lot more with my time, with my nanny time. Because right now, when I have the nanny, I'm basically like running errands the whole time because I just have to get out of the house. Because if I'm in the house, he loses his mind if he sees me. So, yeah, that's where we're at. So the end is in sight. It's in sight.
And the beginning of a new era of one nap. It's all in transition for
you
right now.
People are like, oh, no, hold on to those two naps. But I'm really excited because I think this is going to work better for our lives. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. You got to go there at some point. I mean, what? You're going to hang on for one more month? I mean, it's not like you can hang on for the next 6 years or something. So
I mean, that would be nice, but no. Anyway, that's what we've been up to this week. Shauna, how old is your toddler and what have you guys been up to?
Well, she's 14 months and 2 weeks, and we've had the literal opposite experience that you guys have had with the one nap transition.
Great.
You know, I've kind of been just like thinking about it a little bit, but not doing any prep to move in that direction. And I had that kind of like golden opportunity one day where for some reason, like something kept her awake a little bit extra longer in the morning. And I was like, oh, you know, we'll just give this a go. I'll keep her up a little extra longer and we'll just move to one nap and it's going to be perfect and it's going to be great. And it was already a rough day for me because I get migraines and I just seem to get them a lot lately. And that was a bad day. Like I had a really bad headache that day and I was thinking, okay, I'll keep her up till about noon. It's been like 5.5 hours since she woke up in the morning. You know, she's going to be so tired. She's going to take the longest nap. I'm going to be able to lay down during my lunch break and take a nap and rest my head. I had this like all worked out in my head. I was so optimistic.
Yeah, best laid plans.
Yeah, exactly.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. So I put her down and she fell asleep right away. And I was like, oh, amazing. And I go and lay down. My head is throbbing. And 20, 30 minutes later, she woke up screaming.
No.
I mean, oh my God, when she wakes up too early from a nap, she just is inconsolable. I mean, it is like, I don't want to like be mean to her by calling her a demon child, but it's just the frantic state she's in at that moment. It almost feels like outside of herself. It's so bizarre. It's like the pterodactyl screaming, the crying. I try to hold her and comfort her, and she's just wiggling and wriggling and just won't be comforted. I walk her around the house, nothing. I mean, that lasted for 30 minutes, right? I let her do it in her crib for a little while because sometimes she'll put herself back to sleep. And I was like, she must be tired. She'll put herself back to sleep. So, no, I listened to her do this in her crib for like 10 minutes. I was so mad I had to get out of bed and stop resting my head. And I went and got her, and this inconsolable screaming and crying lasted for like 30 minutes. I was texting Steve. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I was
Oh my gosh, poor baby.
I know, so drained. He's like, why don't you try giving her some milk? And I'm like, all right, you know, I just gave her milk before she went down, but maybe that'll be the thing to snap her out of it. And so finally I gave her a bottle of milk. I offered it to her and she took it and like started to relax and like the screaming turned to whimpering. Aww. And and by the end of that, I just felt like a zombie. I was drained. She was drained. And I was like, well, that one nap transition did not work at all.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a resounding no.
Yeah, big time fail. And so I kept her up for, you know, as long as I could. And she finally got tired around 2:30 and ended up taking a nap. So that.
Did you get to rest?
Oh, no. You know, I had work to do. So at that point, you know, I like to take rests if I need them during my lunch break. But, you know, not at 2:30. So I was responding to Slack and emails and whatnot while she was taking her rest. And my head was throbbing. And yeah.
That's so awful.
Give me some of your one nap mojo.
I'll just sprinkle it your way.
Thank
well,
you.
I will say, and I know this is hard for you because you're working, but I think our trick is just getting outside and getting him just tuckered out as much mm-hmm. as possible. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can take your laptop outside or, you know, because the weather's been okay. I think,
yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, just let mm-hmm. her run off some steam outside, because there is something about bright sunlight outdoors that that tricks our bodies into sleeping better, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to try that. We don't make enough use of the backyard. You know, mm-hmm. it's tough for me to like sit with my laptop and let her run around the backyard just because she eats rocks. And
yeah.
Berry. You know, she needs a lot of supervision out there, whereas my living room is like, have fun, do whatever you want to do, and I can trust that she'll be safe. So
yeah, I totally get that.
If I could find a way to make that work, that's a great idea.
Or even if it's just like 5-minute breaks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, but you do 5-minute breaks once an hour or whatever and get her outside. I know it's a whole thing because then you get shoes and blah, 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 but
yeah.
If it means you can sleep better.
Yeah. So I've abandoned the initiative, and we're just going to do our two naps until I really start to see consistent signs. Just like your guy was giving you consistent signs.
He really was. And he transitioned to two naps on the early side of average. Like, mm-hmm. he did it right at 6 months, and I think he could have done it earlier. So I feel like this is the same. It's like he's on the earlier side of average, you know, the like normal range for when he transitions. And that sucks because I hope that doesn't mean he stops napping at the early range.
Yeah, that's always a fun one. It's a fun one.
I want to nap every day. Like, why do kids not want to nap? I've never understood it.
They just have more energy in general. I mean, Elle stopped napping on the weekends. She still naps at school sometimes, but on the weekends, it's like, hell no. She doesn't want to miss out on the fun, the family time, whatever, and the routine is different on the weekends. So,
my mom also told me something, which is that you have to move your body in order to grow. Like, your muscles have to pull on your bones, essentially, to, like, help them stretch. That's, like, how growth happens, which is why kids never stop moving, because they, like, literally have to move in order to grow. So there you go.
That explains why Elle is just constantly running through the house, bouncing on walls, jumping on couches.
Being a kid, just literally running circles in my house. So
yeah.
My brother and I would just chase each other in circles around the house.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh, that's so where my life is headed right now, which is cute. It's fine.
It's very cute.
I like the liveliness and the noise. So that's that. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention, I usually don't do updates about Elle all, but this one I feel like is kind of also related to parenting a baby. So I want to just mention this. So I took her to her 4-year checkup at the pediatrician, and something that like kind of caught me off guard. Well, let me start by saying, I think you've been doing this too, following the RIE method of parenting.
Yes, R-I-E.
RIE resources and infant education or something like that.
Isn't it educarers?
Educarers now. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I do a lot of those techniques. And one thing I've done with both girls, like from 6 weeks on, when Elle was 6 weeks old, is do this thing where I tell her that I'm going to pick her up. Like, it's this idea you let a person know what you're about to do to their body, right? Like, you wouldn't, if you were caring for, like, I don't know, your grandmother in a hospital bed, you wouldn't just like go and just pick her up. You would be like, oh, I'm gonna move you, you know, because it's jarring to a person to suddenly do that. And I was like, okay, I can, you know, I can take that step of respecting my baby.
Yeah.
And it's just total habit now. Do you do that too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when they're little, it does seem kind of silly. Like when they're like 6 weeks old and you're like, I'm going to pick you up now. And you're like, we're going to change your diaper in a second. You know, people definitely looked at me weird. Like my mom, you know, I kind of was like, Mom, here's the thing we do. Like, you can't just scoop them up off the ground. You're going to say, I'm going to pick you up now. And she was sort of like, okay, like for a 3 month old, whatever.
Right.
But I now realize it's as much training you as it is like learning how to like teaching them respect or whatever, or treating them with respect, because now it's actually important. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I feel like he knows now, and it makes it so much better if I say like, okay, I'm going to pick you up now, as opposed to just scooping him up. He hates not having agency over his own body. And so just giving him that little bit of like a warning, it's really already paying off. So yes. I'm guessing the story might have something to do with that with an even older child. Can I ask you a quick follow-up question, though?
Yeah.
How often do you go to the doctor with like a four-year-old?
The yearly checkup.
It's just once a year. When does it turn to once a year?
I think after 2 years.
Okay.
And we went to the three-year appointment and now four-year appointment.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Carry on. So tell me what you wanted to tell me.
So, like we mentioned, this has become ingrained in me and I still do it with Elle. I mean, obviously I don't pick her up as much as I used to, but it's also kind of transitioned into bodily agency stuff like, oh, can I give you a kiss or can I give you a hug? Sometimes I'll just like, oh, I love you and pick her up and stuff, but you know, I try to really give her some fair warning of what I'm about to do to her body. And I love my pediatrician. He's wonderful. He's a very kind guy. We've known him for 4 years. It just like, I was shocked how much I was taken aback by how he came in. He said hi to her. He's very friendly. But then he just like, without any warning, picked up her body and like put her on the exam table. And I could tell she kind of like tensed and recoiled from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. She didn't vocally protest. And I like recoiled from it a bit. And it just felt so weird and so wrong. And it's not like the biggest mistake in the world. You know what I mean? It didn't hurt her or anything, but it just brought to light like how the things I've been doing since they were babies is so ingrained in our way of being now. So that when someone kind of breaks that rule, it just feels so weird. I don't know.
Well, imagine if he had done that to a teenager. It's not okay, right? Like, imagine she's 16 years old and a doctor just comes in and picks her up and puts her on the table. You can't, right? Because that would be such an egregious, like, lapse, right?
Uh-huh.
But we do it to little kids all the time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things about Rye that I just really, really latched onto from, like, day one, which was just, like, it made so much sense to me. And I had never even thought about it before. But when I read, like, oh, you're treating them with respect the way you would treat another adult human being. You would never just, like, grab another adult human being without, like, giving them warning. You know, you wouldn't grab them, but, you know. And, you know, it's very logical to me now. And I agree. I think it's really weird. Like, you know, my mom will still occasionally like scoop the baby up, scoop him up, you know, without saying anything. And usually it's in a fun, like, I'm going to get you kind of way. But I also am like, ugh, you know, like, you got to warn him. You got to tell him. Like,
Yeah. It feels wrong. And the kids have a little reaction to it, too, that they're kind of like thrown off. Like, why are you doing this to me? And then, like, you know, if I were the doctor, you know, I would be like, okay, I'm going to look in your ears now. I'm going to look in your throat. He didn't, like, you know, explain at all what he was doing. Just like, you know, looked in her, just did all that stuff. And I could tell she was a little bit like, ah, because at home, it's like, I'm going to take your temperature. It's going to go in your ear. And I show them how, you know, maybe I'm overly explaining and babying them too much. I don't know. But it just felt a slightly too harsh or disrespectful because she was a child, I guess, is what it was. I don't know.
Part of me thinks, you know, having grown up with doctor parents and pediatrician parents, I feel like a lot of times they probably have to deal with really, really difficult kids, and they've maybe learned that, like, distraction is better, right?
Oh, yeah.
If they don't know what's coming, maybe, you know, it won't be so bad, right? Like, sort of take them by surprise or whatever, but
right. Sneak in there and check that ear real quick.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Personally, I don't think that's a great way to do things, but I can see how if you have 15 minutes to spend with every patient every day, you might just be trying to get things done. Did you? So you didn't say anything to your pediatrician?
No, because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it harmed her in any way. You know, it just, for me, it was more of like my own reaction and how I noticed it and how it kind of took me aback and stuff like that, that I found very curious. And it also reminds me that like when Cece was, you know, going through some stuff at the pediatrician's office recently, I try to talk her through it. I'm like, okay, we're going to lay you down. She's going to put this thing in your ear. And, you know, the nurses just have no time for my bullshit. They're just like, hold down her legs, stick the thing in her ear, wash out that wax. Not that harsh. That's an exaggeration. But, you know, it is just definitely more down to business.
Well, the other thing is that if it's not like you see the doctor every day, you know?
Exactly.
So it's really not a, like, reinforced thing. But it might make her like the doctor less, you know?
Maybe.
I will say, I think my pediatrician is pretty good about, she's always been like, okay, it's time to look in your ears. It's time to, you know, I'm going to test your knee, you know, see if you have a reflex, that sort of thing. So
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
She's a mom too, and she has kids that are, I think, like 6 and 8 or something. So maybe she practices Rye at home.
Maybe she does. Yeah, maybe. I know my pediatrician is a dad, but I have no idea what his parenting philosophy is. Who knows?
Who knows?
So should we take a break and move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we're back. So this week, our special segment is a big topic where we talk about the large questions that loom over our mom selves. And this week, the big topic is self-care. What is it? How do you do it? What can we do to get more of it? And listeners, how can you help us get more self-care? And how can we help you get more self-care?
Yeah.
Yes. So, Shauna, I'm curious, like, what do you think self-care is? Like, or like, do you have a definition in your mind?
I think my idea of self-care has changed a lot since becoming a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Before being a mom, you know, it was like exercising regularly. And for me, that was like, you know, 5 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah. Eating well, just, I don't know, things I can't fit into my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the self-care is, I think, more like making sure I go to follow-up doctor appointments to take care of, like, my health.
Yeah.
And I'm just not doing a good job with self-care at all since Cece's been born. I think the biggest thing I've done is see a psychiatrist,
yep,
and a therapist to, yeah, and, you know, manage my postpartum anxiety and depression. I consider that like my big self-care thing.
And that's a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
A huge one.
Yeah. That to me is definitely in the realm of self-care, because if I don't like manage my own issues in that way, then I'm not going to be as present for my kids and mm-hmm. available to be a good, like, happy mom. So, but then as far as anything else, it's the pits. I mean, I haven't gotten a haircut in probably 10 months. I never went back to the physical therapist. I still have lingering pain in my C-section area.
Dang. Oh, no.
I never exercise. It's, yeah, it's all about work and family and, like, for me. So I definitely need some help in this department.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, when they hear self-care, they think, like, massages and manicures, basically,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which can be self-care.
Sure.
They can be, but that's not all there is. Like you said, I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said your biggest self-care item was going to see, you know, a therapist. And mm-hmm. it's like, yep, that is a really, really high, you know, high-ticket self-care item for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, self-care is really, like, the way I've been trying to think about it is, like, why am I treating myself worse than I treat the baby? You know,
mm-hmm.
like, I would never let the baby skip a meal.
Oh,
I would,
yeah.
I would never let the baby be holed up inside all day with mm-hmm. no fresh air. So why am I okay with it? Why do I think that I will be okay with that? You know, I'll never let the baby not take a bath.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. All of these things slip away. And I don't know if it's a little bit of, like, this martyrdom, like, I'm sacrificing these things so that my baby can have more, you know,
mm-hmm.
more attention, the perfect life, the perfect babyhood. I don't know.
For me, like, I kind of hate the idea of martyrdom because it implies that you're deriving some kind of satisfaction from making yourself suffer in order for the, you know, others to thrive. And I don't derive satisfaction from that. Like, I'm not proud of the ways I've let my self-care lapse. You know, I'm actually, like, kind of ashamed of it. Like, I don't want to admit, right?
I'm going to make you admit, because I'm curious. How has your self-care changed since having a baby?
Oh, I used to go to Pilates at least once a week, usually twice. And that was huge for me. And I've been, like, 4 or 5 times since I've had my baby, who is almost 14 months old. Let's see. I loved going out to dinner, going to the movies with my husband. That's barely ever, you know, that happens rarely.
Same.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, other sort of out of the box. Okay, do you know what I really have been wanting to do for ages and just never find the time? I want to warp my loom.
What the fuck are you talking about, girl?
Okay, so I have a loom. It's a 28-inch rigid heddle loom for anyone who's keeping track.
Is that a thing you make, like, rugs on and stuff? Or
you can make rugs.
Your spinning wheel.
You weave cloth on it. So you take yarn and you weave cloth.
Got it.
And I love it. But warping is kind of like a process. It takes an hour or two, and you need some space. You cannot have a toddler running around. It just does not work. And so I haven't done it, because by the time he's in bed, I'm just like, I just want to sit on the couch and watch TV. So by this time next week, you need to check in and see if I've warped my loom.
Okay. I will.
Okay. I'll put it in my calendar. You know what, for me, I've realized is huge for my self-care? Is just, like, alone time.
Oh, yeah.
That's
non-existent for me.
Yeah. I really just need that rejuvenating, like, time where I'm by myself. And I don't mean, like, without the baby with Corey around. I mean, like, literally no one. I just want to be by myself. And, like, you going to see the psychiatrist, for me, the biggest self-care thing I've done is getting the nanny twice a week. And that was a hard one to really come around to, because I felt like I couldn't really justify it. Like, I was like, oh, what am I going to, like, I'm not really working again. You know, we had that whole discussion where I'm like, what is work? Yada, yada. Why, you know, I'm not contributing, I guess, as much to the household fund, right? So how can I justify bringing someone in twice a week, you know, when I'm not really, like, contributing money, blah, blah, blah. And then I finally realized, like, I need that time just, like, to reset. And it's been really huge for me. And once this freaking studio in the back is done, I'll actually be able to properly have alone time, because I'll actually have a room of one's own, as Virginia Woolf insists we have. And I've had a glimpse of it, because it's been, like, almost done for a couple weeks or months even. And so I was able to go back and work in it a few times. And I cannot tell you how great it felt to, like, sit in a room by myself and, like, have my computer on my lap and not have anything else to think about. It felt so liberating.
That's
definitely something I had no concept of before I had the baby at all. I had no, everyone said, oh, you know, you get really busy, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't realize how much I'd miss that alone time.
Interesting. So
my goals are to get a little bit more of that.
Sounds like you're on your way. Getting the nanny is such a great first step.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, I get this, like, oh, it's so much money, blah, blah, blah. I'm leaving my baby and, you know, he's so cute and I don't want to leave him, but it's worth it. And I also feel like once I recognized that the nanny was self-care, it wasn't, like, just there to let me work. I gave myself permission to do other things than, like, work or answer emails or run errands during the nanny time.
Yeah.
So, like, one day I actually went to Burke Williams and just, like, I had a spa pass. My mother-in-law gave me a spa pass for Mother's Day last year, actually. So I, you know, like, I didn't have, like, a massage or anything. I just went and, like, sat in the jacuzzi and went in the sauna.
Nice.
And I was in heaven.
Oh, that sounds so good. I have a gift certificate for a massage that Steve gave me for my birthday last year that's just hanging on the refrigerator. I just feel guilty using it.
Which you shouldn't.
I know. The thing about the time away from the kids and the baby is that when I come back, you know, I feel more uplifted. Even like when I was taking Cece a couple times to the backup care, like the backup care daycare center, and I would go to work, right? Like, it's not like fun alone time or anything, but go to work, it's adult time, and then come back and see her. And it just felt like, oh, more excited to be reunited with her. I'm more full of energy and... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The whole point of self-care, right, is to fill your own tank. Like, if you're running on empty, you can't be a good mother. You can't be present. You're not – everything's going to be harder. So it's important to get that quote-unquote self-care. I kind of hate the term self-care, I have to admit.
I do. I do, too.
I wish there was a better – listeners, if you have a better phrase than self-care, I'd love to hear it because I'd love to stop using self-care. I feel like it's so cliche. You know, I feel
sounds kind of foofy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. One thing I have done recently, this was after a meeting with my therapist where he basically was like, you sound burned out. He's overwhelmed by what I do on a daily basis. And so am I. He's like, you sound burned out. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And he was trying to give me permission to like ask for help more from people because I don't like asking for help. I feel guilty, blah, blah, blah. And so a couple nights after that, I was just kind of having a down day and it was my night to put Elle to bed, which can be troubling and long, you know, sometimes she doesn't fall asleep till like 9 o'clock or something. And so I was just like, Steve, can you please do her bedtime tonight for me? Because I just feel like I need a night off. And that was huge. I hadn't done that before, I don't think. And so that was huge for me to ask for that. And he was like, yes, of course. Thank you for asking for what you need. And it just felt really good. Like it hadn't occurred to me before to do that. So
yeah, I think asking for help is huge. And I'm very bad at that. Very bad. When you mentioned that you have a gift certificate for a massage, that reminded me that Corey has gotten me gift certificates for two like creative classes. One was like doing pottery. Like the wheel throwing pottery class. He got that for me right before I gave birth. And I was like, cute, great. But it was like for Christmas. And he was like, well, I figure, you know, in a couple months you'll be able to go. And the truth is like, I probably could because he's very good about like making sure he comes home and, you know, he could cover. But I just haven't found it. Like, I haven't found a time yet. They do like sessions basically. And I just haven't found a time that works for us yet because I was like, oh, I could go on a Saturday, but then I'm missing family time and blah, blah, blah. But I need to do that because I know that would be rejuvenating. Creating things is very much in my self-care bucket. I love crafting. I love doing anything with my hands. So I need to do more of that. And then he also for Christmas this year got me a cooking class because he knows I love doing a cooking class.
I have a cooking class gift certificate too. I've had it for like 5 years. I've never, haven't used it.
Yeah, so I need to use it. And it's like just down the street. So I need to find the time to go. Like the problem with that, I have to say, I love classes. I love learning new things. But like when they're in-person classes, it's hard to find because first you have to like think to look at the schedule. Then you have to look at it ahead of time. And then you have to find something that works with everyone. And then you have to book it before it's sold out. And
Oh my God, these classes, every time I get motivated to try to book it, it's like they're sold out for months. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to be happening in 3 months.
Yeah, who knows? So
yes. Part of me hates gift certificates because I never get around to using them. I have this weird mentality around gift cards and gift certificates. It's like, I'll save it for the perfect day, the perfect time. And then it, who knows, gets stuck on the refrigerator and I don't even think about it again.
I love a gift card. I will use, maybe it's because I'm not making my own money right now, but if I get a cash gift, like a gift card to some place, I like spend it instantly.
Oh, wow.
Like we got a $100 gift card to Nordstrom because we bought our like car seat at Nordstrom on Black Friday.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should probably use it for baby stuff. And I was like, no, fuck it. I'm the one who like did the research to get like the best price, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to use this on boots. Like, I need new boots.
I thought you said boobs. I
do not need new boots.
More than $100. No, you don't.
They're a lot more. No, I have a little bit of seasonal allergies. I'm a little stuffy. Boot.
Yes, gotcha.
Yes. Calf high black leather boots.
Good for you. I always spend my Amazon gift cards on damn kid stuff, man. I wouldn't even know what to buy myself. Ugh.
The problem with Amazon gift cards is you like load them into your account and then you just end up using them on toilet paper.
Dog food. Yeah.
Yeah. But Nordstrom, it's like, well,
True.
You know, I got to use it on something. I did. Story. I had, it was on sale, so I had a little extra left over. So I did buy him a new, like, easy peasy silicone bowl. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I still want to get one of those.
Yeah, those are great. But anyway, I think here's what we need. We need help from our listeners. And we want to know how you define self-care, how you practice self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have another word for self-care.
Listeners, is there something that you want to accomplish that you maybe need a little nudge or a little accountability? Let us know. I'll hold you accountable. I'll check in with you. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. You can email us at contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com or just post on like Instagram or Facebook. Just tag us at BFP Podcast. Maybe use hashtag, what, self-care challenge?
Self-care challenge. I love it.
Okay. We'll be looking out for those.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go set a calendar reminder and then should we come back and do our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We are back with our weekly BFPs and BFNs, and Laura, you are up first. What do you got for us this week?
I have a BFP.
Okay.
which is a new book by Lucy. I think her last name is Knisley. It's K-N-I-S-L-E-Y. And she is a cartoonist.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote this book. It's actually just a collection of sketches called Go to Sleep, I Miss You. And I Miss You is in parentheses. And it's just about the first year of her baby's life. So it's just a bunch of very adorable little sketches that she did in her baby's first year, all about like babydom, you know, baby stuff. It's basically like our podcast in like a book form, in funny book form.
Cool.
But it's really great. I pre-ordered it and it arrived this week. And it's great because there's no like storyline. So it's something you can just flip through while you're sitting around watching a toddler play or breastfeeding, which is actually what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And you can pick it up and put it down anytime. So it's just a cute little adorable book. And it's got some really, you know, it very much reminds me of the tone of our podcast because it's like very adoring towards babies, but at the same time, like, what the fuck is happening? You know, like, this is crazy. It was her first baby, so.
It sounds very relatable.
It's extremely relatable. It's one of those books that every page you're turning, you're like, yep, yep. The only thing that's not relatable is they live, I think, in Chicago, but somewhere really cold. So she always has to, like, bundle up the baby.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, yeah, we don't do that.
Except when it's 53 degrees outside.
And I will say it's sort of a double BFP because I read her book about pregnancy just a couple months ago. It was after I had the baby. I wish I had known about it while I was pregnant because I would have absolutely loved it. It's called Kid Gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more of like a narrative about her pregnancy. And it also talks about her miscarriages and sort of her trying to conceive journey. And it's really, really sweet and funny and touching and sad at times. And then it's peppered with these illustrated sort of pregnancy facts, which are really cool. It's like,
oh, cool.
You know, she does these fun illustrations about like all the weird physiological changes that happen in your body that, you know, we talked about in length when we were pregnant, you know, like the increase in your blood volume and all that stuff. So yeah, the two books are Kid Gloves is the pregnancy one and Go to Sleep and in the parentheses, I Miss You. And it's by Lucy Knisley. And you can also follow her on Instagram. She's just at Lucy Knisley. So LucyKnisley. And we'll repost one of her better baby things onto our Instagram.
For sure. And how did you come across her?
I actually found out about her because a very good friend of mine who is a children's librarian has a tendency to just take pictures. Basically, her Instagram is just taking pictures of what books she's reading and posting them on her Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's a good friend of mine and because I know that we share similar tastes and stuff, whenever she posts a book and says she loves it, I'm like, okay, I gotta go get that. So posted Kid Gloves to her Instagram and that I immediately like put it on hold. I ended up getting it from the library. And then when Go to Sleep, I Miss You, you know, I ended up following Lucy Knisley on Instagram and I saw her new book was coming out and I was like, oh, I have to get this. So I sprung for the full copy, but highly recommend. They're really, really cute. And her Instagram, she posts a lot of stories and stuff, just little sketches she's doing. It's very nice and wholesome and fun and funny. So I thought our listeners would enjoy it.
I love that. That's great.
So what do you have for us, a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFN.
Wah, wah.
Yes, and this actually kind of goes along perfectly with our big topic of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did some blood work to get a biometric screening. So the cool thing, kind of a BFP, is that our insurance every year gives us like a $150 credit on our health savings account if we go and like do a little blood screening panel and just check like your glucose, your BMI, your cholesterol, blood pressure, all of that stuff. So between Steve and I, we make like $300 by going and getting our blood drawn. So I love that. That's really cool.
I mean, usually you have to pay to get your tests done. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. I've been doing that for a few years. And Steve has always kind of slightly made fun of me. He's like, oh, your numbers are always perfect no matter what you do. You've always got perfect numbers, blah, blah, blah. And this year, I got my results back, and some of my numbers were not perfect. They were actually bad. You know, it's like they give you like green when you're in the mm-hmm. good zone and like red when you're in the bad zone. So like my cholesterol is bad this year. And that's never happened to me before.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. And I paused for a moment and thought about my lifestyle in the last year since having my second kid. And I get it. You know, I really get it. Feeding myself is just not a priority anymore mm-hmm. whatsoever. And feeding myself more like healthy, wholesome, nutritious foods is not a priority. I definitely have eaten way more kettle chips, potato chips in the last year than I ever have. And like,
delicious.
I know, sub sandwiches, deli meat, you know, all the crap I love to eat. And it's not that I overeat, I don't think. It's just, I don't know, I haven't been balancing it enough with the good stuff, fruits and vegetables and everything. So this was kind of like an eye-opener that I really have kind of not taken care of myself as best I can. So I'm bummed about that.
Well, I will chime in with my little like, but thing, which is, have you had your thyroid checked?
No.
You might want to check your thyroid because a lot of people end up with hypothyroid after a pregnancy, postpartum. Mm-hmm. And that can make your cholesterol go up. Mm-hmm. I know because I am hypothyroid and I also have high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something definitely, I think most people should get them checked after pregnancy, no matter what, because it's really, really common to have your thyroid go wonky after a pregnancy. Mm. So you should definitely get that checked. Second thing is, I've done a lot of research on this because I have sort of chronic high cholesterol mm-hmm. and I've been trying to figure out, you know, what I should do about it, if I should do anything about it. And diet does not actually have as huge an effect on cholesterol as we think.
Really?
Exercise does. So
you can do that too.
Yeah.
I haven't done any exercise really in the last year.
It's a lot harder to lower your cholesterol via diet than you think. Like everyone, I feel like part of this like pull yourself up by the bootstraps American perspective is just like, oh, it's every, you know, this cholesterol problem is all on me. It's all because mm-hmm. I have been eating bad. And if I could just have some willpower and eat better, it would be better. Apparently that's mostly bullshit when you actually mm-hmm. look at the science. And a lot of cholesterol problems are just genetic.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, it's maybe exercise can lower it. Mm-hmm. Diet, extreme diet interventions can lower it, but not as much as you think. Mm-hmm. And then there's other things in your body, like your thyroid, that can mess with your levels. So before I would go, you know, self-flagellating too much, I would definitely see if your doctor will test your thyroid. Because here's the other thing. Thyroid can affect your mood, too. So mm-hmm. with anxiety and depression, those are side effects of low thyroid as well. So
interesting.
Yeah.
What about just massive exhaustion and fatigue?
That's like the number one thyroid symptom, hypothyroid syndrome.
Really?
You really should get checked out. I will say that I've been taking thyroid replacement, you know, hormones since 2006, I want to say. And mm-hmm. they've been a huge game changer for me. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my energy levels were non-existent. I was depressed. I was mm-hmm. bloated. And I don't mean like fat. I mean, I was just like, you could see like my body was retaining water.
Oh, interesting.
And after getting treated for it, finally, it's like coming out of a fog.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that that's why your cholesterol is high, but that was my first thought was like, oh, it's not necessarily because you're eating poorly. Mm-hmm. It might be something else. So
yeah, that is interesting because the cholesterol numbers were really the only numbers that changed since last year, since giving birth. Everything else was the same or improved, you know, since then. So you're onto something. One of my problems, this whole self-care mm-hmm. thing, is I don't even have a general practitioner. Like, I don't have a primary care doctor. I wouldn't even know who to go to get that test done. I guess I need to find one.
So you could actually just go to your OB. They'd probably mm-hmm. do it. I know a lot of people treat their OBs sort of as primaries. What I would do, though, is I would call your OB and say, like, do you have a GP you'd recommend? I actually recently had the same problem because, you know, when you're pregnant, you don't go to a regular doctor because you're going to your OB all the time. I have an endocrinologist, but he ended up retiring. So I had to get like recommendations. So I asked my OB for recommendations, and I got a couple mm-hmm. names and found one that was close by. And I had a visit which was just called like an establishing care visit. It wasn't even really mm-hmm. like a visit to address anything in particular, but I just went, met her, she took some vitals, and we talked about like what I wanted out of the relationship basically. And now it's great. I have like someone I can email when I need refills and when I need all that stuff.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine wow. that. So I say call your OB, find a recommendation, or just ask Facebook. Honestly, like yes. the local Facebook moms groups are great for that sort of thing.
Okay. I will do it. Maybe I'll have to have you set a calendar reminder for me for that.
Too. Oh, yeah. I'm checking in on you. Have you gotten a referral yet? You don't yes. even need a referral, but like a recommendation.
Yes. That's good. All right. Well, I like this. Thank you for giving me this different perspective. I was definitely super bummed out about it.
I should also say, like, cholesterol is not you, right? Even if you have high cholesterol, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean anything's actually necessarily wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we put so much stake in these tests, you know, and I just feel like not all of us can have low cholesterol, not all of us can be healthy, and that doesn't mean that, you know, like health is not something we owe the world, right? And
right.
So, you know, you're still good. I still you. Like you. I mean, I was Thank that you. Was, you know, touch and go for a second there.
I know. You found out about these cholesterol numbers and you're like, maybe I should unfriend Shauna.
I mean, if you saw
life.
Mine, you'd probably be like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, that's it for me this week. Should we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think so.
If you want to get in on the self-care challenge with us, please join us. I think we need all the support we can get, and we want to give you all the support we can give. So please reach out and let's communicate. Laura, how can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed group, so you have to request to join, but I will add you, and you can join in our amazing conversations we're having in there. You can also send us an email or voice memo to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com or go to BigFatPositivePodcast.com and check out all our show notes and other fun stuff on our website.
Thank you guys so much for all the ratings and reviews you've been giving us lately. We really, really, really appreciate it. If you haven't had a chance to get around to that yet, you know, pour a glass of wine, sit on your couch, pull up your laptop, and give us a little rating and review. We would love you for it. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.